I met the next guest on a sunny day at a garden party, which wasn't really that much of a party because it's COVID-19, but I had the opportunity to meet this next guest who shared her. It's a beautiful day. Okay, it's a gorgeous day when I meet her under lovely circumstances with some wonderful people. And within 5 minutes of talking to her, she was crying. And her tears captured me. So much so that I even forgot to tell you what's still coming up. And you know what? It's goods. That's all you need to know, because I want to introduce you to this woman right now. So on Friday, a people's tribunal was launched to judge allegations of mass atrocities, crimes committed against Uyghur and other Turkic Muslims in the Uyghur region of northwest China. I don't know if you've heard of Uyghurs, but this is one of the greatest human rights tragedies right now. They're an ethnic Muslim minority group in the semi-autonomous northwestern province of Xinjiang in China, though the Uyghurs will call it Turkestan. And since 2017, up to 1.8 million Uyghurs and other ethnic minorities there have been swept up in probably the largest incarceration of an ethno-religious minority since the Holocaust. Exiled Uyghurs and researchers have described this campaign as genocide, and accusations have emerged of a multiplicity of potential crimes being perpetrated by China, including murder, enslavement, wrongful imprisonment, torture, rape, other sexual violence, enforced sterilization, enforced disappearance, separation of children from parents, forced marriage, and other crimes, including forced organ harvesting of live bodies. So joining me now, we have a Uyghur who is in exile here in Ottawa. She's a full-time biologist, but still keeps up with her advocacy. She has 2 master's degrees. She has a PhD in biology. She speaks Uyghur, Mandarin, French, English, Turkish, some Kazakh, and Uzbek. And I'm telling you all of these sorts of accomplishments because she did these. She reached these points of accomplishment against all odds without being able to be surrounded by the love of her family. So joining me right now, she's the vice president of international support for Uyghurs. She is Razia Mahmoud. Good morning, my dear.
Oh, good morning, Dalia. Very grateful for having me on your program. I'm very honored to be here to speak on behalf of Uyghur people, voiceless Uyghurs.
This is a conversation that not many people have, not many people know about it. So I want you to tell us a bit, because you've said to me, your family, your community, you now refer to yourself as a people destroyed. And at 10 years old, you already recognize this. Explain.
Oh, well, this Uyghurs have always been systematically discriminated and facing systematic discrimination and human rights violation. When I was 10 years old, I have been told I should learn Mandarin to have bright future. I should have very careful in my daily life because we are second citizen. Chinese people are the first citizen. We have to praise them. And so that's when I was 10 years old. But when I would get into university in Shanghai, a famous university in Shanghai, I have been told how I get into this university. I have questioned it by my professor in Shanghai. And when I finished my university degree in bachelor in biology, When I back to East Turkestan, this is my home country's name, which is called by Chinese government Xinjiang Autonomous Region. I have been told that I won't have easily get a job because I'm a Uyghur. So all my life, I was facing all kind of different level of discrimination. And back in I witnessed Uyghur massacre. It happened in 1997. So many experience in my lifetime, and also in I was aware of nuclear tests because I'm biologist. So I more care about like health related issues, and more than 60 years ago, the region was chosen to serve as a nuclear weapon testing ground by China. That was the only test site within China, but largest in the world. So I was aware of there is a lot of birth health related challenges, and the birth defect is enormous, and the cancer rate was 30 to 35% higher than the state average, and the birth defect for children are children's abound. So sadly, the party state's complete disregard for Uyghur people does not end with its nuclear ambition. Since 2016, as you mentioned it at the beginning of show, so up to 3 million Uyghurs and other Turkic people have been detained
now 3 million.
In concentration camps. Up to 3 million.
Up to 3 million. So yeah. Right now, you're listening to some of the story of Rasia Mahmoud. She is a Uyghur here in exile in Ottawa. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods. And so 3 million people since 2016. And we've heard stories of shaving heads of detainees. It sounds reminiscent of the Holocaust, things that I've heard, Turkic people being detained in concentration camps, enduring horrific conditions, torture, brainwashing. You've called this the worst human rights tragedy. You've said this to me in your homeland. Tell us about some of these things before you tell us how you got away, but tell us about some of these things that you know that the people that you love are dealing with.
As I mentioned it I was witnessing a lot of human tragedy, and it 2002 I decided to leave the country, and one example when I arrived in Beijing to stay one or two nights and then get my visa to out to Belgium, but the first night I arrived in Belgium, I became a homeless person. At that day, I was not able to admit into hotels in Beijing because I'm from Xinjiang. I'm from East Turkestan. I have identity of East Turkestan. I'm Uyghur. That was my first night in Beijing. I stayed outside home overnight with the other girl. We are two girls. We feared to death that night, and then second day I managed to find some people to host us, Uyghur people in Beijing, living in Beijing, to host us for one more day in their home. That was back in 2002. However, I'm back to this Holocaust-like tragic situation for Uyghurs. In 2017, I returned to China to visit my family my father is very ill. I was intimidated by the Chinese embassy in Ottawa before leaving, and I was under police surveillance the whole time I was there. I only allowed to stay 5 days. What was struck me most was the fact that the street and the market was totally empty. Everyone was terrified to speak, gather, And the phrase is like, everyone is gone or arrested or disappeared is very, all too common. My country was under like high police surveillance, and it became a brutal police state. Everything that makes Uyghur people or other Turkic people has been targeted. People doesn't allow to speak Uyghur, doesn't allow to show their culture, history, religious, and identity is totally destroyed. So,
weren't you afraid to go back home? I would be so scared to go back home.
Yeah, exactly. My dad was very sick, and I take very high risk to go back to see my father for last time. That was the last time I saw my father. And last year, he passed away. That was my last chance to say goodbye to my dad.
So you took a risk to go back and say goodbye to your father.
Yes, that's the last. That was the last chance. Last year, when he passed away, I was not able to go back and see him.
You're in Canada. Your family is.
Yeah, my whole family is there. I have my brothers, my post parents are passed away now. I have my brother, my sister's brothers, uncles, cousins, aunts, everyone is there. We have big family there, but I'm alone here with my small family.
Razia, do you go one day ever, where you don't cry?
I don't know. So today I was ready to not cry, but when you start talking, it's still, I can't.
It makes
like
sense.
Cry is became a part of my life, everyday life. Yeah, I know I should stay strong to speak up for my nation, for my people, but every time it's touched, it is, when we talk about this, as you met first time me, like, I was crying. I said, I shouldn't cry. But today you started, I don't know.
You should cry. You should cry. And people around the world should be screaming for this atrocity that is taking place. You know, after the Holocaust, everybody said, never again, never again, never again. And the same people who are saying, never again, all over the place, are not saying one word about what's happening in China with 3 million at least Uyghurs now who are being swept up in probably the largest incarceration of an ethno-religious minority since the Holocaust. So you cry. You deserve to cry. You shouldn't be, but you deserve it. And people who are saying never again should be listening to this. And they should put those words to action because nobody is talking about this. I have not heard this for one second come off of the lips of Justin Trudeau. I don't even think I've ever heard him say the word Uyghur. Not at all. And so it's important what you're doing right now. And I don't know where you get the strength to not only fight to support your community back home, but to raise your daughter, to speak all of these languages, to learn them, to get all of this education, to move forward in your life. How have all of these difficult conditions that you've had to endure, how have they helped you to become so strong in so many ways, Razia?
It is long story. I've been through so many things, and I was able to manage, as you mentioned, learn a lot of language. But I wish I can, I should only learn one, my language, but other languages as a hobby, but it's not the case. I always face some situation. I have to learn one more language. I have to manage. I have to stay strong. I have to moving forward. So it is not easy life. You're always facing so many challenges. But compared to my people suffering now, I was so lucky. I am in a safe country. I'm privileged. I have my job. I don't worry about next day police will knock my door to arrest me. I don't worry about those things. I'm already very, very lucky to be safe here. My people not only suffering in the inside of concentration camps, they are suffering outside. They are under high surveillance, and 1 million Chinese officials appointed by Chinese government to move into Uyghur family and the Uyghur houses to monitor their daily life. On top of that, most of the men is arrested in concentration camps, and women stay at home, taking care of children and taking care of their elders. But this Chinese officials conducting state-sponsored rape, who stay those women stay at home, and also. Based on experts' report, about 500,000 children taken away to state-sponsored orphanage. They are not allowed to speak Uyghur language, and they're forced to eat pork. They are facing a systematic re-engineering process. Dalia, compared to those people, we are lucky here. We are lucky, we are safe. You don't need to worry about when we're going to arrest it, when we're going to torture it, when we're going to end up in those concentration camps. I'm already very grateful.
Razia, what do you want Canada to do to help? In the last minute that you have with me, what message do you want to give Justin Trudeau and Canadians?
In short term, Canadian government can use its Magnitsky legislation to target Chinese communist officials for perpetrating gross and systematic human rights violation on Uyghurs. And the government also can call on, recognize China's persecution of Uyghurs as genocide. Once they recognize as genocide, and there will be a necessary action to take. So this is very important in short term. They can do it right now. Use the Magnitsky Act and recognize the persecution as Uyghur genocide. And but Canadian people also can help us. They can call business to cut all ties with suppliers implicated in forced labor with Uyghur. Forced labor of Uyghurs. And all sourcing from the Uyghur region, from cotton to finished garments. As Canadian people, you can contact your MPs to raise your concern about Uyghur plight, and also can boycott the products produced from Uyghur labor, forced labor, Uyghur slave labor from China. Those things you can do right now. And also, you can donate our organization international support for Uyghurs by donation. Every cent counts for our advocacy, and your support as volunteer. Those makes change, makes difference, Dalia. Those every single effort makes difference in our Uyghur life, Uyghurs' life, Uyghurs' plight.
Razia, we're going to keep following the story. I'm going to stay up to date with you. And I think that what you've done, it's just how you have gone against every single odd. And not only have you done it to your own success and to help your daughter, but to continue helping your loved ones back home. What they can't say to you, I will say to you, is that you're an incredible human being. And I will stay posted, and we will make sure that this story stays alive. Razia Mahmoud, Vice President of the International Support for Uyghurs here in Ottawa, in exile, while her family and community in China are living under essentially a genocide. I'm Dahlia.
Thank you, Dahlia. Thank you very much for your support and for Canadian support. And thank you again.
Of course. How can I not? This is The Goods on 580 CFRA. Show.